Today is a special day. We've got young people, we've got older people, we've got family, we've got friends, and we are here to celebrate the greatest day in history. The day when Jesus rose, the day when he conquered death. The greatest news is Jesus is alive. Let's do some response. When I say Jesus is alive, I need you to say he is risen indeed. Is that all right? You can cope with that? The words are up on the screen in case you forget. I know some of you had a very late night last night. Let's try it. Jesus is alive.
He is risen indeed.
Ooh. Once more. Jesus is alive.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. There will be other opportunities for you to do a response as we go through the service. But Jesus is alive.
He is risen indeed.
Maybe I've dug myself a home here. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can celebrate your resurrection today. Thank you that you conquered the power of sin and the power of death. And that the promise is for all who believe and trust in you that they can be forgiven and assured of eternal life. Not because of anything that we've done, but because of everything that you have done. You were willing to be sacrificed in our place. But Lord, you didn't stay dead. You rose triumphant. And we praise you this morning that we worship a risen Saviour. We worship a risen Lord. That we can say Jesus is alive.
He is risen indeed.
In your precious name. Amen.
Amen.
The risen King sends us. That's what we're going to be thinking of this morning. Because Jesus is alive.
He's alive indeed.
Close.
Like that. He's risen indeed.
Yes, yes.
He's risen indeed.
Jesus is alive.
He is risen indeed.
Because he's risen, that changes everything. It changes how we face fear. It changes how we live. It changes how we worship. It changes how we speak to other people about Jesus. We worship a risen Lord, a risen Saviour. And today we're going to look at three simple things, three simple truths. First, that the risen Jesus turns fear into joy. Second, the risen Jesus is worthy of our worship. And third, the risen Jesus sends his people. Let's begin with the word of God, Matthew 28, verses 5 to 10. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was laying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy. They rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." And then Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Friends, this is God's word. It's full of life, it's full of hope, it is full of truth. We can trust the word of God. First point, the risen Jesus turns fear into joy. We're going to begin at the empty tomb. And the women, they came to the tomb early in the morning. But they weren't coming with smiles on their faces. They were not coming expecting a celebration. They were sad. They were grieving. Their hearts were broken. Jesus had died on the cross. They'd seen it. They'd felt the pain of it. They had known the sorrow of grief. So when they came to the tomb, they came carrying grief, carrying fear. Perhaps someone here today knows what that feels like. All of us can be afraid. Children can be afraid, teenagers can be afraid, adults can be afraid, older people can be afraid. Afraid of what might happen, afraid of bad news, afraid of being alone, afraid of not being good enough, perhaps afraid of the future, or even afraid of death. They came with grief, they were afraid, but then everything changed. Matthew 28, 5 and 6, then the angel spoke to the woman, "Don't be afraid." Have you ever noticed how often angels say, "Don't be afraid," when they appear? Don't be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. These are wonderful words. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Isn't that an incredible sentence? Isn't that an incredible statement to make? The angels don't say he was helpful. The angels don't say about Jesus he was inspiring. They don't say about Jesus he will be remembered. They say he is risen from the dead. It's an affirmative statement of truth. The resurrection means that Jesus didn't stay in the grave. Death could not keep him. The tomb could not hold him. The stone could not stop him. And because Jesus is alive, fear does not get the final word. If there had been children in the room, I would have asked them something at this point. But let me ask you adults, have you ever been scared of anything? Maybe when you were younger, you were scared of the dark. Maybe in the middle of the night, you'd hear a loud noise that would wake you up. Or maybe your neighbour had a really big dog that just barked every time you walked past their house. Maybe just going somewhere new, you found that quite scary. All of us at some stage in our lives has been afraid of something. Fear is not just something that children experience. Grown-ups know it too. I think the first time I was really fearful was when my children were diagnosed with meningitis. Bex was 3, Sam was 6 months old. That is the first place I really experienced true fear. For the women that morning, they were going somewhere that filled them with fear and dread. They were frightened, but after the angel spoke to them in Matthew 28:8, when they ran from the tomb, it says they were frightened, but they were also filled with joy. And they rushed to speak to the disciples. Friends, this is a really, really honest verse. We can often feel shaky about something, and yet God is already beginning to fill us with joy. Sometimes we might still tremble, but Jesus is already bringing hope into the room, into the circumstance, into the situation. How many people like thunderstorms? Okay. Has anyone ever hidden under the bed during a thunderstorm? I was brought up by my nan in the 70s. There used to be worries about nuclear war. And my nan used to say whenever they were testing in Stepney where we lived, they used to basically play the wartime air raid warnings to simulate what would happen if a nuclear attack took place. And my nan used to say, if you hear the sirens, go and hide under the kitchen table. Now, as a small child, I didn't think that there would be anything wrong with hiding under the table, because if there was a nuclear bomb dropped, I knew it was a sturdy table and it would protect me. That's false hope, isn't it? My name was odd. I've mentioned her many times. Her weirdness definitely affected me through my entire life. Hiding from the prospect of a nuclear war, that's extreme. The ladies weren't doing that, the disciples weren't doing that, but they did go into hiding. They retreated because they thought everything was broken, that everything had gone. Good Friday was over, but they still felt like there was a storm going on in their lives. They still felt like something was going to happen. But they didn't expect what actually happened. Now, in our lives, storms still come, sadness still comes, but the risen Jesus comes near to us. And his presence changes everything. Where there was fear, there's hope. Where there was sadness, there becomes joy. Psalm 30, verse 5 says this, "Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning." Easter morning proves that statement in the most glorious way. The darkest night didn't last forever. The sorrow of Friday was not the end. The silence of Saturday wasn't the end. Sunday morning came, and the tomb was empty. And Jesus was alive. Hallelujah. Let's do another response together. When I say fear does not win, you say
Jesus does.
Didn't even need to cue you for that. Marvellous. Let's try it again. Fear does not win.
Jesus does.
Maybe you've come today with fear in your heart. Hear the voice of Jesus say to you, don't be afraid. Bring your fears to him. Bring your tears to him. Bring your worries to him. The risen Lord Jesus can turn fear into joy. Second point. The risen Jesus is worthy of worship. This is the second truth. When the women met Jesus, the Bible says in Matthew 28:9, and as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshipped him. They worshipped him. They didn't say, oh, how nice to see you. They didn't just stand at a distance. They fell before him and expressed love and wonder and praise. Why? Because Jesus is not only alive, he is Lord. He's the risen King, he's the Son of God. He is worthy of our worship, he is worthy of our praise. And worship is for everyone. Not just for the musicians, not just for the preacher, not just for adults. Worship is for children and teenagers and parents and grandparents and the whole church family. Let me ask you a question about a birthday cake. If someone gave you a birthday cake, would you put it in the washing machine? Would you leave it outside in the rain? Something that's special should be treated properly, shouldn't it? You'd eat it. You'd eat it. I know someone else would eat cake as well. In fact, I'm sure most of us would probably eat cake if it was given to us. Or imagine someone gave you a beautiful present, beautifully wrapped, with your name written on it. Would you throw it into the bin without looking what was inside? Never? Even if it was ticking? When someone gives us something, we open it, we keep it, or re-gift it in the modern world, or sell it on eBay. But the theory is, if someone gives us something, we should keep it. In a far greater way, what Jesus gives to us shouldn't be pushed to the edges of our lives. We should give away the truth about Jesus, but if we know Jesus as Lord and Saviour, we shouldn't push him out of our lives. He shouldn't be the gift that is never unopened. Jesus isn't an extra. He's not an add-on. He is not someone that we just think about for an hour on a Sunday once a week. The Bible tells us clearly he is our King. He belongs at the centre of our lives. And worship means us saying, Jesus, you're first in my life. It means us saying our lives belong to him. It means saying, Jesus, I love you more than my own sin. I love you more than my own pride. I love you more than my own plans. To have him as king means he's sovereign. We allow him to rule over our lives. Let me make it a bit more practical. Worship, is worship singing? Yes. But it's also listening to the word of God. It's also obeying Jesus wherever we are. Whether we're at work or at school or at home, it's about doing what he has told us to do. Worship in many ways is about telling the truth. It's about forgiving someone. Worship is praying when we feel weak. Worship is choosing to trust Christ time after time after time. But I love the honesty of Matthew 28 verse 17. It says, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Isn't that a comfort? It tells us that Jesus welcomes people who are still learning, still growing, still struggling. There are some people who think, I can't come to Jesus until I have no more questions. Well, Jesus says to come with your questions. There are some who think, I can't worship until I feel stronger. But Jesus says, come to me in your weakness. Come to me when you're down. Come to me when you're depressed. Come to me when you feel like you're far away. There's something, I'd like to come to Jesus, but I need to sort myself out first. The answer is no, come to Jesus because he's the one who changes us. He works in us and through us. He refines us and makes us fit for heaven. The centre story of Easter is Jesus. The centre of our salvation is Jesus. But if we're honest and we ask ourselves the question this morning, is Jesus really at the centre of my life? What's our honest answer to that question? Do we truly have him at the centre? Does he have first place in our lives? Or do we give him the leftovers? The risen Jesus is worthy of our worship, not just in our words, but in our songs, in our choices, in our habits, in our thoughts, in our plans. He is worthy of our worship in everything. Phrase and response time. When I say Jesus is worthy, you say?
Of all my life.
Let's try it with a bit more conviction. Jesus is worthy.
Of all my life.
You've nearly got me convinced. Jesus is worthy.
Of all my life.
You said it three times. Do you really believe it?
Yes.
Because he is. He is worthy of it all. Third point. The risen Jesus sends his people. Now we come to the third truth I want us to look at this morning. Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Being obedient to this instruction means that we have truly allowed Jesus to be king over everything in our lives. He's not only the Lord of our time in church, he is the Lord of all time. He's not only the Lord of one place, he is the Lord of all the earth. In fact, he's the Lord of all creation. And because he's king, he sends us to people. Now, this is really important. Jesus doesn't only save us so that we can sit here on a Sunday and sing and eat Friday's hot cross buns. He saves us so that others can be saved. He saves us so that others can discover the truth for themselves. He saves us and then he sends us. He sends us into our own homes. He sends us into schools, into places where we have friends. He sends us into our workplace. He sends us into our communities. Now, there are some that think it's only preachers and missionaries that should go. But Jesus calls all of us as his disciples to go. Children from a young age can shine for Jesus at school. My 7-year-old grandson has stood up in the class at school and told his friends and his teacher that he believes that Jesus is real. That boldness of faith is incredible. In fact, yesterday he got them all, a sister and two brothers, to sit on the sofa with him, and they were watching the Easter story on YouTube, a Heyo video, which we used to play from Saddleback Kids a while ago. He is evangelizing. Now, maybe he's bold, maybe he's comfortable doing that. But perhaps as we get a little bit older, we feel less comfortable witnessing. As we get older, we should actually know more truth, not less. There should be a greater confidence as we go on with Christ to actually witness, to be bold, to speak out about our faith. Kids can shine for Jesus. Teenagers can shine for Jesus. Maybe they've got a friendship group that do things that aren't right, either in the sight of God or the sight of the world. They can speak truth. They can speak words of life in the situations. As parents, we can show Jesus in our homes, to our children. As grandparents, we can do the same. And all of us can pray, all of us can encourage, all of us can speak of God's faithfulness in our own lives. We mustn't live in fear when it comes to speaking to others about Jesus. And God uses ordinary people. I would ask for a show of hands from people who think they're ordinary, but perhaps all of us think we're special in some way. The only thing that makes us special is that God loves us and has saved us from our sin. In our own natural state, there is nothing special about us. Maybe I should say some of us are more special than others, but we won't go there. We are ordinary people. We're broken, we're damaged, but we are redeemed, we're saved, we're set free if we trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And God uses ordinary people to reach the lost. Now maybe you think, oh, but I'm shy. I couldn't say anything to anyone. Yeah, you can. Or maybe you think, I'm too young. No, you're not. Maybe you think, I'm too old. No, you're not. If you've still got breath, you can still speak. You can still tell someone about Jesus. You may think, oh, but I don't know enough. God can still use you. The Holy Spirit can speak through you. You don't need to know every chapter, every verse, every piece of punctuation in the Bible to be able to tell people that you know that God loves you because he set you free from your sin. Well, maybe you think, oh, I'm not important. God couldn't use me. Look at history, friends. God has used the most unlikely people to bring glory to him. Imagine for a moment you are walking on a dark path and you've got a torch to light your way. And the path is dark, but the torch shows you where it's safe to walk. Now imagine as you're walking along with your torch, you meet someone who's stumbling in the dark. What do? Do you hide your torch, or do you offer to show or share the light with someone else? Love would make you share. Love would make you lift the torch to help someone else. And friends, that's what we are called to do as believers. That's what we're called to do as disciples. We are meant to light the way that points to Jesus. We're not meant to hide the light. We are meant to share the light. We are meant to be salt and light. That's what the Bible says. That means saying to a friend, oh, there's baptisms at a church in Ashington tonight. Would you like to come with me? Would you like to see what's going on? There's going to be food afterwards. And yeah, there'll be a bit of singing. And yeah, people are going to say what they believe or why they believe in Jesus. But it's an opportunity to discover. It's an opportunity to learn. It's an opportunity to experience the truth of Easter. New life because of Christ. Or maybe it's too difficult to ask someone to come to church with you, but you know they've got things going on in their lives. So why not say, can I pray for you? Why not just tell someone that Jesus loves them? Oh, Dean, you're asking us to perform brain surgery and we can't even use a scalpel. Allow the Holy Spirit to use you. Maybe you'll need to explain why Jesus died. Maybe you'll need to explain that Jesus rose again. Maybe you'll need to explain why Jesus makes a difference in your life. None of that is too difficult. People often say they see something different about Christians. Sometimes it's kindness, sometimes it's patience, sometimes it's truthfulness, sometimes it's forgiveness, sometimes it's the hope that we have. Do you look like you're happy and hopeful in Christ this Resurrection Sunday? But then Jesus gives these disciples something else. In Matthew 28:20, there's a beautiful promise. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Friends, this is precious. Jesus doesn't say, go off on your own and try your best. You'll be all right. He says, I am with you always. If a child wants to follow Jesus, Jesus is with that child. If a teenager wants to stand for Christ, Jesus is with that teenager. If a parent feels tired or stretched, Jesus is with that parent. If an older believer feels weak or lonely, Jesus is with that believer. He is with us. Okay, one more response. When I say Jesus sends us, you say,
and stay with us.
Jesus sends us.
Stay with us.
Before we finish the sermon, we have to come to the heart of the message. Why is Easter such good news. Because Jesus didn't rise just to amaze us. He rose to save us. The Bible teaches us that every one of us has sinned. Every one of us has gone our own way. That includes children and teenagers and adults. Absolutely everyone. Sin is not only doing things wrong on the outside. Sin is in the heart saying, I want to do it my way, not God's way. Was it Frank Sinatra who said, I did it my way?
Yes.
That's like a modern 20th, 21st century anthem. People play it at funerals. People play it on their radios. People sing it and hum it to themselves. It's so much better if we say, I did it God's way. I did it Jesus's way. And maybe we would prefer to do things our way, but God calls us to do it his way. Sin separates us from God, but God in his love sent Jesus Christ. Jesus lived the perfect life that we could never live. He died the death that we deserve to die. On the cross, he took the punishment for all of our sins, past, present, and future. He dealt with them on the cross. And he died and he was buried, but on the third day, he rose again, having conquered death, having conquered sin. That's what we celebrate today on Resurrection Sunday. Because he rose again, it means that we can be forgiven. Because he rose again, it means that new life is possible. Because he rose again, it means that anyone who turns to Jesus can be saved. The good news, friends, today is not try harder. It's not be good enough. It's not fix yourself. The good news is Jesus saves. In 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, Christ died for our sins, just as the scriptures said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. That's the heart of the gospel. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. And today the risen Christ calls each of us to respond to him. Maybe you don't yet know Jesus. Perhaps you come to church sometimes. Perhaps you know the Easter story. Perhaps you know the world's Easter story about the bunnies and the chocolate. But this Jesus, you don't really know that story that well. Or maybe you've heard the truth about Jesus many times, but deep down you know that you truly haven't given your life to him. What better day than today? Don't stay far away. Don't stay at a distance. Come to him. Trust him. Know him. Let him work in you and through you. No one's too young to trust him. No one's too old to trust him. But I would encourage you to trust him today. And for those of us that already know Jesus as the risen Lord, for those of us who already know him as our King, let me encourage you, bring your fears to him. Give him your worship and take the message of truth to others. Let me finish with a simple picture. A kite will only rise if it's helmed by the right line and lifted into the wind. If a kite is cut loose, it doesn't become free, it fails. And we're the same. We were not made to drift apart and away from God. We were made to know Christ, to trust Christ, to follow Christ, and to live by the power of the Spirit. When we try to live without him, we sink. But when we come to the risen Jesus, we begin to live as we were meant to live. So church family, here's the message today. Jesus is alive, so don't let fear rule you. Jesus is worthy, so don't give him your leftovers. Give him your life. And Jesus sends us, so do not be silent. Follow him, worship him, tell the world about him. And let us say it one last time. Jesus is alive.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. Paul's got a poem.
Yeah, I spoke to Dean last night about this. Yesterday's a really weird day, isn't it, between the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. And as I was spending time with God, I just said to him, God, this is strange. We're fortunate. We know that Jesus rose. So we can go through Saturday thinking we've got that to look forward to. But I tried to put myself in the place of the disciples on Saturday. You know, that feeling of loss. And I said, God, I don't understand how they must have been feeling. And then this is the result of the prayer time that I spent with God. And these are the words that he gave me, which Dean has said I can share with you. So it's called, Just As He Said There'd never been a day like this, nor will there be again. A day so full of loss and sorrow, so completely filled with pain. They'd watched him suffer, watched him die, then placed his body in a tomb, and now there was no place for them. Could their lives simply just resume? They'd known the King of Glory, walked with Jesus here on earth, heard the words he'd spoken, but what was all that worth? They'd watched as he was crucified, they saw him take his final breath, but they didn't understand the truth as he gave himself to death. How could they know? Why would they? For they'd not believed in him, nor could they know that by his death he'd made atonement for their sin. So overcome with sorrow, so wrapped up in their grief, the pain they felt was real enough, and it swallowed their belief. They could not see beyond the tomb, forgetting all that they'd been told. Overwhelmed, now lost in grief, their world felt dark and cold. Like the tomb they laid him in, death was just a temporary place, for its power had been conquered, and once more they'd see his face. But they could not imagine, for they had never understood, that he would rise up from the dead, just as he said he would. They thought that all their hope was lost, for them now death was what they faced. But knowing of God's gift to them, eternal life would take death's place. That day passed so slowly, as though time was standing still. His death had shocked them to the core, their disappointment very real. But early the next morning, to everyone's surprise, his body wasn't in the tomb. They could scarce believe their eyes. As Jesus stood amongst them, they saw him risen from the dead, and they began to worship God, for all was just as he had said.
Thanks for sharing that, Paul. Endless victory, no fear of death. Eternal life for those who will believe. New life, the opportunity to be born again when we trust in Jesus as Lord and Saviour. Lord Jesus, so thank you that you conquered death. I thank you that you rose again. I thank you that you did it for us, for all who will believe. Help us, Lord, to be thankful for what you've done. Help us to worship you. Help us to tell others about you. And help us to proclaim the real message of Easter to everyone that we meet. Lord, I ask that as we go into this week, your blessing would rest upon us, that special blessing of Father, Son, and Spirit, now and evermore. Amen.
Amen.